And so into the final lap of the week, Friday evening, and time for album reviews. One of the darlings of the musical critical circles worldwide, Mike Hadrias, also known as Perfume Genius, is back with album number 5, and that's called Set My Heart on Fire Immediately. Magnetic Fields, led by frontman Stephen Merritt, release the album Quickies, a 28-song collection of short, quirky commentaries on a range of subjects from politics and sex to the best cup of coffee and a brat upstairs with a drum kit. Third offering comes from Electro Soul Art Rock. It comes from Moses Sumney, whose two-part album released today is entitled Grey, Parts 1 and 2. Alan Carr and Aoife Barry have been listening. We'll start with Perfume Genius, the album called Set My Heart on Fire Immediately, and this is a track called On the Floor. On the Floor, track there from Perfume Genius' new album called Set My Heart on Fire Immediately. Alan Carr and Aoife Barry have been listening to our albums this evening. They join me now on the line. Under the musical moniker Perfume Genius, he released his first album back in 2008, one of the most acclaimed artists of the last decade. Tell us a little bit, Aoife, about his arrival on the scene and his journey since then.
Yeah, he's a really interesting example because back in 2008, he set up a MySpace page. So remember those days when people could get record deals and when, you know, going to MySpace was a way of kind of getting attention. But that's where he started under the name Perfume Genius. And then his record Learning came out. And I remember when that record came out, it's just him and the piano and these heartbreaking songs. You were literally just heartbroken listening to these really raw, vulnerable tracks. And since then, he moved on to a bigger label. He's on Matador label now for the last couple of albums, and he's just slowly but surely added on more and more to his sound. And he's a guy who grew up in Seattle. He had a tough upbringing. He suffered from a lot of homophobia when he was in school. He was attacked at one point. He's dealt with chronic illness. He's got Crohn's disease, which he's spoken about as well. And, you know, he's dealt with kind of different personal things.
Yeah.
But over the last 10 years, himself and his partner, Alan Wiffles, they're kind of musical partners as well. And together, they're really like this force of nature. And you can really feel Alan's influence coming through too, because they're so kind of connected. So this record is just a continuation for me of this fantastic career that he's created for himself. This great sound.
I wanted to start with something bright and uplifting, which was why I chose that On the Floor track, Alan Carr. Aoife was mentioning there, you know, how Hadrias or Perfume Genius had to face issues like addiction. There was illness, there was homophobia there. Are those themes, they're present in previous albums and in his music generally, are they there again in this album?
I think so, yeah. I think he certainly revisits those themes, but he said himself that he wrote these songs, Sean, as a way to be patient and also to be more spiritually wild. And he certainly kind of sounds naked, bruised and very vulnerable on this album. I mean, he really delves into the realm of the senses here. And a lot of these songs are like he's whispering kind of, you know, secrets into the listener's ear. And I think, you know, musically, it's much more sumptuous and ornate than certainly his first album and his first few albums. I mean, he said as well that he's using his own body as a template or a conduit to kind of confront these issues of masculinity and questioning traditional roles in society. So it's a journey of self-exploration, but he's also reaching out into society itself and addressing those kind of issues.
You mentioned, Aoife, his partner, Alan Wiffles, and the importance of his role in the music of Mike Hadrias' life as well. Other interesting collaborators here, Blake Mills and legendary session musician Pino Palladino.
Yeah, it's interesting if you look at who he's worked with. So he's worked with Blake Mills twice before. Blake Mills has worked with Fiona Apple and Laura Marling. And then if you look at the session musicians, Jim Keltner, Matt Chamberlain, Pino Palladino, these are people who've worked with like Eric Clapton, Elton John, Keith Richards. Like, it's really, really high level people that he's working with. But what I really like about him is that for he's so big, and for how big he is, you think that he might have more of an attitude of, I'm this giant pop star. But he still feels like that guy who put his songs on MySpace place in 2008, and he still feels like someone who's very true to himself. And I think that's reflected on the music here, because it kind of, you know, it's got different tones to it. Sometimes it's really big, like that song you heard there. Sometimes it's really hushed. You've got really interesting instruments on it. You've got howling dogs and wolves at one point. He just really does his own thing with his music, but he's able to do it differently every time. And you can really feel him like exploring another layer to himself. It's like he's peeling off layer with each record.
Well, I'm given that you said sometimes it's really hushed, I'll go to one of the tracks that is really hushed, certainly in its opening bars. There is one of those tracks where Perfume Fields is whispering into our ears. I think it was Aoife that suggested that in her previous contributions. Alan Carr, who's our other reviewer this evening, I can hear that the both of you are absolutely and totally in love with this album. Now, I had a bit of a digital nightmare where I was getting all sorts of tracks from other parts of his work, and therefore I got a bit frustrated as I was listening. So perhaps I have to take that into account. But was there unity across this album from you? Did you get a sense of one artist making it all, or was it quite disparate, was the feeling I had?
Not at all. And that's one of its main attractions, I think. The song you just heard there, Moonbend, has a kind of a Radiohead kind of quality to it, all right, kind of elegiac and delicate. But then if you listen to the second track on the album, Describe, it's this brooding 90s rocker, which is not unlike Smashing Pumpkins' monolithic hit song Today. It's kind of punch drunk and frazzled guitar and these strange counter rhythms, you know, it collapses under its own weight. And then you've got a song like Without You, which is a gorgeous, you know, pop melody, sparkling piano. So it's very, very varied, very eclectic and very different.
And that is
and
a good thing for you.
Of this man's talent.
Yeah, and you see that as a positive for sure. Stars from you, finally, Alan, and then I'll go to Aoife. Stars, Alan?
Absolutely 5 out of 5 for this.
No doubt about the 5 out of 5. There you go. I'll have to go back and listen, Aoife.
Yeah, it's a 5-star record for me.
Oh,
no,
I'll have
no
to go back and
it.
Listen twice. 5 out of 5. Okay. Let us move on to my further frustrations of a Friday. The questions about magnetic fields are numerous. Stephen Merritt is the principal mover and shaker in this band. 28 songs, quickies they're called. Do you know what? I'm just going to listen to one so that we can get a sense of it. This one is 59 seconds long, which is quite a long enough one in terms of the album. It's called Kill a Man a Week.
Kill a man a week and then we're done.
There you go. 59 seconds, one of the 28 quickies on the album called Quickies from Magnetic Fields. I think you might be picking up from the tone of my voice. Now, one of them like that, Alan Carr, is fine. But 28 of them, one after the other, with that kind of self-reflective irony there all the time. 28's a lot of bad jokes, or a lot of jokes to be listening to one after the other.
I mean, it's a very Stephen Merritt conceit. I mean, this is a man, he's a 55-year-old songwriter from Yonkers in New York, and each album he seems to set himself a new musical challenge. I mean, there was much-loved 69 Love Songs back in 1999.
But that was a great album.
It was superb. 50-song memoir in 2017. Audaciously had 50 songs, one for each year of his life. So this is another one of these albums. It's full of pithy pocket symphonies on autoharp and toy piano, ukulele, and he's very waggish and droll. And where it might come across as morose frippery, these are very, very funny songs that actually sound like they're plucked from the pages of the Great American Songbook. I mean, the title, Quickies, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And this is frat boy humour with English literature.
Okay, frat boy humour. I will not say it. Aoife Barry, will you please give us the title, and be warned if you're listening and you've got delicate ears. Tell us the title of the second track on the album.
Well, it's called The Biggest Tits in History, but I believe it's about the birds and not the body part.
Ah,
so
yeah,
I think that's, how they get away with it.
That's a really funny joke, isn't it?
Well, I think the thing is, it did surprise me about this record that the kind of the juvenile element of their music, that's always present, I think, in their stuff, but it's particularly present on an album called Quickies, and that was the one part of it that kind of stuck out to me with it. But I think there's some people that just aren't going to get what Magnetic Fields are about, and there's other people who you'll just put on the three CD or the three record 69 love songs and you'll just love every single track, because the thing is they do play with genre a lot. They like their kind of pre-Beatles pop, their Beatlesy pop, their rock and roll, they like their kind of ukulele folk songs, so you get a huge amount of variety. But you do, and you do get different vocalists too, so it's not just baritone the whole way through.
69 love songs, I got that, and I remember the 50 song album, which was the story of his life, which I thought was incredibly clever, and he kind of did styles across every year that he was writing in. It was great stuff. But then you've got this. Here comes, what do you do if your next door neighbour's, I presume it's the daughter he's speaking about here, gets a drum kit? Well, here's what he writes the song to describe that.
The drum to which one jumps, she pogoed up and down the floor. The ceiling fell in clumps, 'twas quiet when she was...
All right, I've had enough of the brat upstairs and her drum kit. Now, okay, maybe I had a bad experience with digital downloads on the first album. Maybe I need to be allowed to cycle more than the 5 kilometre radius that I seem to be going around in circles in for the last while. I just didn't get this album. You did. What did I miss out, Aoife?
I just think the lyrics are generally really, really clever. For example, one of the songs they sing, "We were drunk and we got married. Let's get drunk again and get divorced. I was blotto at our wedding. For all I know, I was forced." Now, in a way, that's kind of not very nice. But it's also
you're proving my point, I'm afraid.
It's a real tongue-in-cheek. It's the delivery. It's the way that Stephen Merritt delivers these things, where it's like this kind of knowing wryness. And also, like, the perfect pop songs, under 2 minutes, they can write perfect pop songs.
Some of the songs are 13 seconds long. 14
yeah,
seconds
like, I mean,
long.
Listen, I challenge anybody to write a song that short, that's that good, you know, because you could put something really terrible together in that time. They just excel in short, sharp shocks, and I really enjoy it, but I don't think it's for everybody, as you've obviously proved there.
Well, I think, Sean, you really do need to go back and listen to this, because I think he's this razor wing gadfly that always reminds me of Stephen Sondheim meets Noel Coward, Leonard Cohen meets Randy Newman, and I can't think of a greater compliment than that. He's waggish, he's kind of like witty, he's very dry, and as Aoife says, anybody who has that craft that can deliver a song so quickly and so elegantly is fine by me.
Yeah, well, I did love the other two albums, so maybe I should go back with a different frame of mind, maybe not in lockdown mode, and not 28 bad jokes one after the other. Did I get stars? Stars from you, Aoife, sorry.
I give it 3.5.
3.5, and what are you saying, Alan?
Well, I think this is an arched eyebrow of an album. I'd also give it 3.5, Sean.
All right, 3.5 with arched eyebrows included there. Let's move on then to our final album this evening. Described by you, Alan, the artist here, as electro-soul art rock, Moses Sumney. Two-part album released today. It's called Grey Part 1 and 2, but I think this album is actually Part 1 and 2 is the second part to a previous album. Am I right?
Well, I mean, the first part was released last February, so this is the two parts together, as far as I can tell. It's a double album. It's 20 tracks. This is the 28-year-old from North Carolina who grew up in Ghana and Southern California, and this is quite the statement. It's one of the most immersive and challenging things you'll hear all year, Sean.
It certainly is that. Let's have a listen to it, if challenging that is. Let's have a listen to a track called Virile. And the opening section there of a track called Virile from Moses Sumney's Grey Part 1 and 2. That actually would be in Part 1 of the double album, Aoife Barry. And yes, it is challenging. And even though I had digital download difficulties and lockdown no laughs from Quickies, I kind of found myself saying with this one, I know this is tough going, but I have to give it more time.
Yeah, because I think the thing about this record is that it's got those beautiful moments of like soulful pop, of like his vocals are incredible. He can really hit lovely high kind of falsetto notes. He really is great with a melody, with a hook. But then you've other tracks where there's no hook there really, or there's a little bit kind of less going on. at times I felt like I was listening to Björk, felt like I was listening to Prince, or I was listening to Holly Herndon, who makes really interesting electronica using kind of AI and things like that. So there's loads of things going on. He, you know, kind of evokes the spirit of like 90s songstresses sometimes, and then other times you just feel like you're listening to Frank Ocean. So you have beautiful moments on the record, but because it's a 20-track double record, because he's not concerned about commercialism, he's just doing his own kind of thing, he's being experimental with it. It didn't quite land for me as a whole, but there are moments in it and I thought, this melody is genius, this bit he's singing is so beautiful.
Yeah, and this is the opening section of the album. It's a little short little ditty called Insula, and it gives us the etymology of the word isolation and island and all of the rest. So quite a clever kind of way to hook us into our current state, even though this was released back again. I think the part one would have been released back before we were in isolation and in lockdown. I think your experience was something similar to my own, Alan. You had to give it a couple of goes.
I certainly did. It takes a lot of listens to get kind of fully kind of hooked into it and to comprehend it. What it reminded me of the most, I think, is one of those sprawling, expansive albums from the 70s by Stevie Wonder, or maybe even Donny Hathaway's extension of A Man. Also, much more modern comparison, I suppose, would be Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. You ask yourself, is this a soul record? Is it a rock pop record, a funk record, a jazz record? It's all of those things and more. And he's a real visionary. And he's been kind of like teed up or kind of talked about as one of the major new artists, you know, coming forward over the next few years. And as Aoife says, he doesn't have to earn anything here. He's not interested in commercial success. And it gives him that freedom to really indulge himself without sounding too self-indulgent. It is hard work, but I think that it really does pay off in the end.
I'll listen to another bit of a track. This one is called Cut Me.
That's when I feel the most alive. Whoa. Endurance is the soul.
And all my digital dilemmas were kind of solved with that song, Cut Me. It's probably on the album, Alan Corr. It probably is the closest to a pop song that you could just listen to, you know, in total isolation. Are there others?
I think there's several moments like that. I mean, there's long kind of dreamlike suites that are sort of interrupted by these very poppy songs. Neither or. I'd describe that as a pop song, this marvelously syncopated thing. And I think it's really worth kind of listening very closely to his lyrics. That one that you just played there, Cut Me, it may not be healthy for me, but seemingly I need what cuts me. And he also veers in a song called Also, and I insist on my right to be multiple. And he certainly is. So I think it's kind of littered with great pop songs in between those kind of dreamlike suites that he kind of plays.
It is a big ask, though. Maybe it's the fact that we're talking about a double album as part of the issue here. If part one was released back in February, would it be better just to have been given part two? And if you want to put the two together off, you go and do it yourself, Aoife?
Yeah, that's the question, isn't it? Because, I mean, like, we are living in an era where attention spans are getting shorter and shorter, and it can actually feel like a bit of an ask to make somebody to listen to 20 tracks, which, I mean, it's obviously a bad complaint in one way to make. It would have been nice maybe to have a bigger break between the two, but at the same time, like, that's his artistic vision, so, like, go for it. And he treads in that song you just played there, Cut Me, he treads really similar ground to Perfume Genius there musically, and, you know, lyrically, like Alan was hinting at as well, he writes about, like, masculinity, sexuality, a lot of different topics, and I think the two of them kind of draw from similar wells there. And then musically, he's got interesting instruments as well, like a kora, a Nigerian kora. So there's all those kind of cool things going on as well.
Lots to interest. Right. Stars from you briefly and finally, Aoife.
I give it 3.5.
3.5, Alan.
Well, I think this is an ecosystem of an album, Sean. I'd give it 4 out of 5.
An ecosystem of an album worthy of 4 out of 5 from Alan Corr. Alan Corr and Aoife Barry speaking to me about Moses Sumney, Grey Parts 1 and 2, Magnetic Fields and Quickies, and Perfume Genius, Set My Heart on Fire. Immediately, that's our lot for this evening.